What's up? What's up? What's up? Happy, I guess, New Year's. New Year's. Yeah, New Year's it is. It's another installment of Leo's Corner. It's been one in a long, long time. As always, it's your boy Leo. And always with me, the producer, director, slash the sexy body of the Nimrod Productions, that boy Joey.
Yeah, man.
What's up, Joey? Well, I'm not gonna lie, I'm full of gas and it's not coming out my ass. I'll tell you that right now. I got burping a lot. First time I've actually had a corona, not the virus. But yeah, went to my dad's house. He's not supposed to be having beer, so I stole all his beer.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm 14 years old all over again.
There you go. I haven't had a Corona in a long time.
Yep. And I realized those mother flowers make me really, 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 you know, gassy, like burp a lot.
Yeah.
So I would like to go ahead and say now, excusez-moi, because you might hear me burping a lot. And Joey gets annoyed editing that.
Yeah, it's cool. I no longer edit it. PDA.
Hey, if Rick Sanchez can get away with it, I should be able to get away with it too. Yeah. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
So, end of year, beginning of year, whenever this premieres, we always do a countdown of top five albums. And for this year, we decided to throw in a few extras. EPs and a single. See how that works out. See how long this takes, by the way.
Usually takes a while.
Yeah. No. I don't know about you, man. In general, as music as a whole, how did you feel 2021?
All right. To me, this year, 2021, was an amazing year for music. It's like December, like most years, that's when like the good album releases kind of die down because of, you know, Christmas and all that. But every month there is like an album or an EP or like a single or like two that like came out and was just really amazing. There was so much stuff that like came out, and I thought it was a really strong year. Like some of these albums are going to go down as probably some of my all-time favorites. And it was a lot better than, like, compared to last year, in my opinion. What about you, Mr. Leo?
That's all right. I feel it's been mediocre. No band that I actually wanted to release, well, besides some that are part of my list, I was hoping for more bands that I like to release more albums. You know, it's not what I expected it to be. And then some of them, they release a single or they release something they haven't ever. It was like, you know, one of those, hey, we recorded this 20 years ago, we're going to let it out. Now, motherfuckers, I don't want to hear what you recorded 20 years ago. Give me something new. You know, it's a shout out to the Descendants. I did like their release that they did this year for that one album they recorded. Their very first ever album recording, apparently. But like I said, I was hoping for new music. You know what I mean? Yeah. And those that's an example of what I'm talking about. You know, like we had a couple of those, and the Descendants being the strongest one out of all the ones that got released like that. But yeah, like I said, 2020 had actually a lot of bands that I got introduced to, so I thought that was cool. But this year I did not feel any new introductions a lot. This year was not a year that I actually was able to find a lot of new music. So I felt like that hurt my year for music. Like I said, not really a lot of bands that I wanted to release new music did release new music. And then what I would say is there were a couple of bands that made me turn eye, like, yo, that was actually pretty good. So I don't know, man. I guess I wasn't feeling it this year.
Yeah, like I almost have had the opposite effects with like discovering brand new bands and like having some of my top artists release stuff that were really good. And a quick thing, like a handful of the bands that I think are kind of, in my opinion, are not my favorites, but they're in that kind of good category. They released some surprisingly really good tracks, like a great songs. So I was like, oh wow, not just a good band on this record, but yeah. I guess you lead the way on where to start with this.
Oh man, we'll go off with the album, since we always do the albums, and I feel like we'll start the new stuff
first.
Yeah, that's the why not
grand finale, I would say.
Nah, can't be.
Okay.
Well, fuck it. Hail Mary, we'll do the single.
Like a single theme, like it's just one song, so it's like.
But we're ending this on a lot different note, by the way. It's not going to end with albums. I'm telling you that right now. This episode's not ending with albums.
Okay. Bum, all right. Who wants to do their, like, okay, who does singles first or single first?
All right, go ahead.
All right. So mine was, there were a handful of singles that came out that were just, again, this is just strictly singles. Either songs that are not associated with, like, any album or like EP, at least so far, and are not planning to be, or else my song choice would be something else. But the song that I would have picked is coming on a album early next year, so I'm not counting that one. But I'm going with one of the three Green Day singles. It was their second one. It was Pollyanna. It's just a really kind of fun, kind of steady rocking tune. It's not like per se a punk rock song. It's not like a really like slow Green Day song. It's kind of a steady pace one, and it has a pretty good message. And it was great to see them live, and they did this song. And I'm glad that the three new Green Day songs don't sound anything like their album last year. They're going back to the traditional Green Day sound. So that's my favorite one. Fun little track.
I actually wanted to check it out right now.
Okay.
Should I do it now, or you want to watch the video too?
I guess. I said, like, edit that out, or do edit. So before we do that, let's do a quick silence so that I know when to edit. That's good. No silence.
Take a moment of silence.
Moment of silence for the editor.
Welcome to the world's fastest product demo. A query running over 42 billion rows.
What do you think?
Every holiday looks different.
It's okay. It's better than the last stuff I heard. It sounded, I'm not even gonna lie to you, it sounded to me like a Sugar Cult song.
I guess I could kind of see that.
Like, not first album, but second album.
I don't know, like, stuff that's that well to know, like different albums.
No, I was a big Sugar Cult fan.
Chris liked them. I liked them more for nostalgia, so like I listened to like those two hits, you know.
Memory.
And Memory, yeah. Well, okay, so I guess it's three songs. Bouncing Off the Walls, Memory, and then what's that, Pretty Girl? Yeah.
Mm.
It's the way it makes you feel, it's the way. Oh, man. All right.
So, yeah, if we haven't heard a song by somebody, I'm just going to go ahead and play it so we can actually give an opinion on it. Well, I said my opinion, so.
I said prior that this was my favorite single that doesn't have an album attached to it. Though I do have a small idea that maybe with these three singles that like Green Day put out, they are working on a album very slowly, and maybe next year they'll put these three songs on the album. But so far, there's no plans that I've heard to put this on an album. So,
Well,
what would you say? Your single pick?
Well, mine's is actually part of an album, if you want to say, but it's actually part of a soundtrack.
Okay, but that counts.
They have no plans on releasing. Like, I even own the official soundtrack for this movie, and that song's not on the soundtrack. That made me mad.
Really?
Yeah, I actually bought I actually was hoping to get it in order to have that song on the soundtrack, but it didn't show up. But this song was written for the movie. It is Hunter's Moon by Ghost.
It's not on the soundtrack?
Nope. It's part of, apparently it's part of the soundtrack, but it's not on the official Halloween Kills soundtrack.
Weird.
It's what I said. And they're apparently selling it, but it's going to be a 7-inch single.
Okay.
So in other words, I think that counts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I definitely count that as a separate single. Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah, I like the bass. The bass was pretty sweet on it. It's not like atmospheric crazy, but it gives you that sense. Like it's also like Ghosts are talking about. They're saying that they are working on a new album and they're planning on that album not even to be heavy this time. They actually just plan on taking a slower approach.
Have they ever made a heavy album?
Well, that's the thing, but like they're trying to do more, I guess, doom, like gloomy music. And I mean, if you listen to the prequel album, it's more poppish, like more pop, you know. Wanna be with you in the moonlight, you know, those little situations, like the Dance Macabre and Rats. I mean, Rats starts off pretty nice with the drums and the guitar, and then it literally leads off to like me wanting to boogie down. I'm not even lying to you. Like half the time, I'm just like, hell yeah, let me dance. You know,
album.
So yeah, Ghost has they've gone more radio friendly as of late, but yeah, they're not like, oh, we're just gonna get heavier. We're not gonna do it. They're like, yeah, no, we're just gonna tone it down. I'm like, well, at least you admit it. So whenever I heard this song, I was expecting a toned down song, but it actually I felt like it delivered for the most part.
Oh, well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Decent tune.
All right. So EPs, I will go first for the EP launch on this one. For my number 3 EP, I'm going to go with Knocked Loose's A Tear in the Fabric of Life.
Okay.
Are you a Knocked Loose fan? Have you ever heard Knocked Loose?
Yeah. Like, I like them, but like, I don't like them enough that Spotify will like say, hey, check out their like brand new song. You know, they're not like, yeah.
All right. But yeah, no, I was introduced to Knocked Loose about last year. That's the thing. Last year, I was introduced to a lot of bands. Knocked Loose was one of them. I was like wondering, I wonder when they're going to release a new album or a single for an album. But they released an EP. And it's typical Knocked Loose stuff. So I'm not saying you're going to find anything new here. It's going to get your deep breakdowns and his high-pitched hardcore voice. Not gonna lie, but it's a fun album. It's fast when it needs to be, it's heavy when it needs to be, and like the tone of the band I always enjoyed. Like I said, he does have a high-pitched voice compared to a lot of the hardcore, you know, singers and stuff, but I think it works well with what he does, and his voice has come up a long way since the very first EP they ever dropped to what it is now. So yeah,
cool.
Would like, you want to listen to listen to a single?
I guess after, maybe afterwards. I feel.
Okay. Because
now I feel like I'm on a roll. Yeah, because like I a coworker showed me them about 4 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. I like them, but like I said, I don't like them enough that Spotify is like, hey, check out this.
I hope you know they have now two EPs and two albums.
I know they have a few like releases because I've like some other stuff's like added on my playlist, but
yeah, I own all of them on vinyl.
Oh, nice. So for my number three, because I forgot that we were doing three EPs. Still in a small debate, but I think this is so close on what number three and what number four would be. But I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm gonna say it. Yeah, it's gonna go with the Agonist EP, Days Before the World Wept. Yeah, because like the Agonist, as so many people know, used to have Arch Enemy's current singer, Elisa White Boots. And once she left the band, because I thought that she was definitely the big selling point for that band. She had really strong vocals and she used them amazingly in that band. I thought she was a better singer in the Agonist compared to what she is with Arch Enemy, because Arch Enemy is more about growling. Agonist does clean and also growling vocals. But I think it took the Agonist maybe two releases after her to get really back to making really great music. And they did it with this EP. I thought it was really strong. And I think the musicianship, which is one of my favorite things about this band, like back in the day also, is how they played off of each other. Because like Dan Marino, that's his actual name, guitar player. He's such a really good songwriter, and like he's a really underrated guitar player, because like no one really speaks, like we can talk about him. Whenever they talk about this band, it's usually just about the vocals, you know. Which your new singer Valerie, she's like really good. That's not her name, but yeah, there's some really strong songs off this EP. It is a long EP. It is not like, it's basically an album, because I think it's like eight songs. So
Jesus.
Yeah, so it barely counts as an EP. Because I think like there's a limit on like minutes. Because I think if you go over 45 minutes, it's an album. But because there's like an intro track, there's like 7 tracks really. But
all right, yeah. Because I was gonna say, because I know you know the band Senses Fail, right?
Yeah.
Their very first release on Vagrant Records, it was an EP, but it was like about 8 tracks as well.
Yeah, because it's like based on like the time length than it is like actual like tracks. What you got for your number 2?
Well, my number 2 is actually a re-release. You allowed me to count it, so I was going to count it. It's Thought Crimes Tap Night. So it does have ex-guitar player to Dillinger Escape Plan, which a lot of people are like, some people say they're punk, some people say they're not, some people say they're alternative, not alternative, but like, you know, like instrumental, progressive, whatever. But Thought Crimes, that aggressiveness it shows, I'm like, yo, because this was originally released like recorded and everything in 2019, but they got signed to Pure Noise, which is the same record label with Knocked Loose, and they got signed to it, and they went ahead and re-released it and released it for everyone to check out. And for now, it's a very solid start. They're saying that their album is probably going to be like this, so I'm really, really excited. Honestly, just think of like a really hardcore band, but they have the breakdowns, they have all that, but there's even a punk element to them. They literally play like a punk band. So it was a weird combination to like it's weird to even think that, oh, well, you think punk and hardcore, no, this legit was like, it's like if I was listening to some early Under Oath and then you just drop like a fucking Descendants riff here and there. It's kind of weird to say, but you have like some very, very strong vocals going for it. Like you have like the drum blast beat, like your regular punk beat, you know, like the 8 beat. And it'll just blast out to it, and you have like the guitar just either it's shredding or it's fucking playing power chords. It's a punk song, like it goes back and forth. It's so good. Their songs are like fucking a minute and a half, sometimes 2 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I like this. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I want shit to go quick. Sometimes I just want to listen to some long ass songs.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to like listen to some tunes after this recording, because like I've never like heard that band, so I'm cool with that. My number 2, it was close to being number 1. It was really close to being number 1, and it should probably be number 1. The only reason I am putting this number 2 is because a few of these songs came out before 2021. As just singles. So that's why I was like, well, there's some songs that have been out since like 2019. So that's why I'm bumping down to number 2. But it is Danny Blue's Pale Horse EP. Every song on this thing is just amazing. And he has like an extended version, which has like a bunch of remixes. So it's like 12 songs long, but that's not really the EP version. EP version, I think, is just 6 songs. Yeah, I think it's 6 songs. Mm-hmm. But like each one gets a remix later. If you are a fan of synth pop or like dark synth music, like if you like Depeche Mode, if you like trying to a popular current band, like I guess Nightclub, if you like any band like that, check this boy out. Hopefully he will tour, because I will see this boy. Anytime. Yeah. Danny Blue. That's spelled blue as in B-L-U. No E. No E. Tell a horse. Pretty good.
Hmm. I'm like trying to see the whole album here. All right. So my number one EP is actually a split EP.
Yeah.
It consists of See You Space Cowboy and If I Die First, A Sheer Disaster. It's the name of it. It does have two songs by See You Space Cowboy and two songs by If I Die First. But there's actually a collab song, like where both bands play together. Oh. And it's the longest song on there. It's like 5 minutes and 9 seconds. It's Bloodstained Eyes. And it's pretty cool. Like to me, it kind of showed what CU Space Cowboy would become, because I listened to this because of the CU Space Cowboy part of it. I have never heard if I Die First till I saw this collab and then heard the EP. But I think the CU Space Cowboy part is a lot stronger. There are like, well, the singer's transgender, and he like pulls a lot, like shows it off a lot, but it doesn't take away, I believe he has some pretty strong vocals, and like on the tracks, the See You Space Cowboy songs, I always like the way his name's Connie is an amazing singer. The feelings are there, like if it's, yeah, an agonizing song, you hear the agonizing in this person's voice. You hear the pain in the voice. If it's throwing a breakdown, he can growl like the best of them, but his voice can also be high pitch and all over the place. So it could sound like something like, I'm not even gonna lie, it could sound like his voice can even go from something like from Attack to something like a Converge song to something like, I don't know, like think of a deep growl, you know what I mean? So it's a very multi-talented person. Lyrics can just slap you, then your mama will beat you after you talk back to her at a store, you know what I mean? They can just come up there and slap every sense of your emotions out of you. And yeah, it was a strong showing to what would become their next album.
Again, I'm intrigued to hear this band. My number one, again, this is very close. So, a little bit of a preface to this. Preface? Whatever. There was a big chunk of this year. One of my most listened to genres of like this entire year was actually synth pop. I listened to a lot of synth pop this year. And my number one artist is a synth pop, well, the number one EP is another synth pop EP. It is William Control, Sex Cult Volume 1. It's again, every song on this thing is just amazing. It's, I guess you could say, it's kind of typical William Control stuff since about his third release, because his first two albums were kind of a little different, but it's just, I just love it. I love his stuff, and I've been debating if I like William Control above Aiden or if I like Aiden better. I'm not even sure anymore. I'm not sure. You know? Because I love both bands, but yeah, it's a great EP. I'm still waiting on Sex Cult Volume 2, or it could be like one of those Volume 1s that never get a Volume 2, which has happened a handful of times for like artists. And like, I was a bit surprised that this came out because of all of his legal issues he had to deal with. I think it was last year. Like, he made it seem like he wasn't going to do music anymore, but okay, he's back. Still making those sexy lyric music. Yeah. Mm. All right.
That being said, nah, Joey, we're gonna let you go start off with the album, top five albums of L2021.
Okay, so I think it was last year we did top five, but it was actually the top six because you said to separate the top one. So I asked to make sure, is it just five, or is it technically six?
It's six, but we can start off with an honorable mention.
Wait, so like it is six?
No, like I would say your honorable mention would be a single EP something. Just what do you have for an honorable mention? Or is there a song on an album that you just thought the album was trash, but that one song was good?
Oh, so that changes. Cause like I had like a backup, like sixth album just in case. So like, well, just in case Leo went to actually six albums.
No, the honorable mention could be a song, an album, an EP. It could be.
Okay. Okay. So like my quick honorable mention is a song that surprised me big time. It was one of my most played songs this entire year, according to Spotify. Well, not like a top 10, but it was like in the top 20 songs that I listened to. And again, I loved it. And it was Let the Bad Times Roll by The Offspring. The album is okay, but there's three other good songs on that album. The rest just sound like Offspring songs. But this song, I don't know what it was. I just loved this song. Like, a love that I've never had for any Offspring song, like, I think, ever. I think this is my favorite Offspring song, actually. I'm not a huge Offspring fan.
So Jesus.
But yeah, the actual album, counting this song and like two other songs, it's a pretty basic Offspring record. Basic from post 2000s Offspring, in my opinion. Because the late 80s and 90s Offspring, you know, they had something going. But yeah, that's my honorable mention.
Well, mine's is actually a live record.
Okay.
MXPX released Southbound to San Antonio, and it was, I know Matt, like Mike, when the whole pandemic started, he was like playing acoustic sets on YouTube and or Facebook or whatnot, and I would watch him. And like a lot of the songs he played, I'm like, damn, you know, like these are songs that I wish I would have heard on like actual like live shows. You know what I mean? Sometimes it'll just stick to like either the new stuff or of course they'll play some of the old stuff. But like there's a certain mix. Sometimes you're like, I just want the greatest hits of MXPX. I'm an MXPX fan myself. So I've always wanted to hear like some of the 2000s, late 90s stuff, which you don't really get to hear nowadays. They always play like more of the Panic album, and what was that other album they released like in 20 2003?
Oh, I'm not great with their album title names besides like her like 90s stuff. Is that the one you like, the Bill Buckle album cover?
Yeah, they play some stuff from there, and like Secret Weapon and all that. But like I was like I've never heard My Mistake play live, and that was like one of my favorite songs, and they only released that song in their 2002 compilation, 10 Years and Running. So I was like, man, why can I never ever hear this song? And Lord behold, this live album has it. So I was just excited. Like I saw the track listing and I'm like, yo, like they finally did it. You know what I mean? Like they actually have my top songs in there, and I went ahead and listened to it. And it has the energy of a MXPX concert. It shows off so well, and I'm like, you know what? This is what a lot of live albums are actually missing. You're missing that energy. Sometimes you just get to hear, and they're like, it sounds like they're going through the motions. But this album legit actually made you feel like you were at an MXPX concert playing the hits that, well, in my opinion, the ones that I wanted to hear. Like they wrote a set list that I actually wanted to check out, and some songs I hadn't even heard on there. And I'm like, you know what? They were perfectly placed in here just to be like, oh, okay, this is actually a good time for me to jam to this. Nice. You know what I mean? So,
Oh, go on.
I was gonna say the track listening was just epic on it. So.
I really enjoy a really good live album, but like you said, like it's not that easy to make a really good live recording because because so many bands are just going through the motion sometimes, and if you can capture the energy with the crowd noise and just, that's when it works really well.
Yeah, and I think what worked really well for this one was the fact that like Mike's always itching to be on the road. He's always like he's one of the guys I respect for that. Sometimes people are like, oh, MXPX sold out. Oh, MXPX doesn't know what they're doing. Or I'm like, yo, but honestly, he's always been so passionate, not just about like, oh, we need to write a fucking album just to write an album. He's like, no, I'm writing an album for my fans, people who want to listen to me. And every time he's played live, there's always so much energy off of him. And I feel like when you listen to this, you feel the energy he's giving the crowd, and the crowd's giving it back. And he's such a great live act. That's hands down. Mike's one of my favorite live performers.
I don't know that. All right, I guess going on to the official album countdown, I'll start with my number five. Now, this one's kind of a weird one because you could kind of not count this as what I'm about to count it as an album, but I'm gonna count it as an album. Separate it from its counterparts, because it's kind of a two-parter album. It is Trippie Redd's Neon Shark, but just the Neon Shark part.
I quit. I'm out of here.
I loved that record. There was countless of songs. Like honestly, there was only two songs I didn't really care for on that, on the Neon Shark part, because like this comes off of what like I would say is Trippie Redd's worst album, Pegasus, because Pegasus is just straight trash, but he puts them together, which is weird. It's Neon Shark versus Pegasus. I don't know why he released it like that. Because Pegasus was already a album before, But he adds more songs too to Pegasus side. Well, I've not listened to those extra songs on Pegasus because like, I'm not going to listen to that.
Well, I think he probably released it that way. People that like listen to pop punk and all that will listen to the pop punk element of his and then actually move on to listen to what he normally sounds like, you know, and see if people will.
That's just like his worst, like by far, that was his worst album, Pegasus. Pegasus made me at one time give up on like Trippie Redd. It was like, you know what, Trippie, you were good for like a few years, but this last one was just sucky. But yeah, so like basically this is Trippie Redd trying to jump on the bandwagon that like MGK made popular.
Well, the thing is, it came out before MGK.
No, it didn't.
You sure?
Yeah. Because MGK was 2020.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
So I was perfectly avoiding all that music till you made me put Trippie Redd on my shit. And then that mutated into it coronavirused itself into my playlists.
Really? Yep.
You know what? Now, you know what? Well, then again, I remember giving, because there is an album review.
There
on
is.
This album on a Leo's Corner episode. You guys can go check that out. I remember giving that album a legit, right down the middle.
Yeah, five. It
was a five. I personally did not enjoy the album, but the reason I felt I gave it a higher score was because I have not listened to that kind of music. I haven't listened to the rap guys trying to do the rock thing, and there was just it wasn't. So I was like, you know what, I'm not trying to insult this album. It's just not my cup of tea. Yeah. I know I'm joking right now, but you know, like about like I'm gonna kill Joey, and I've been already thinking of three ways to drown him, but. just kidding. But yeah, no. I guess power to him. He did the thing, and you know, it just wasn't my cup of tea. So I mean, that's all I could really say. I'm not gonna say he's an idiot for trying. I'm not gonna diss the dude. You know what? It takes a lot of guts to, and especially to get out of your comfort zone and write something that's completely out of your zone. You know what I mean? Power to him. Give props for that.
What you got for your number five?
Torn Arteries by Carcass. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about. Honestly, this is also one of my, you know, I've not been a huge Carcass fan. I've thought they're okay. You know, they're playing in the background. Oh, it's all right. But no, I feel like they've polished their sound a lot. A lot of people said that if I like this album, I probably like their second to last album. I said I don't really listen to much Carcass, but it's a well produced record. The guitar is just phenomenal on this record, and I praise it for that. I do kind of have an issue with the vocals. But then again, it's like, you know, I also like Death, you know, the band Death. Yeah. I've been listening to them a lot lately, too. And sometimes I'm like, the vocals, but the music's there. The drummer, from what I saw, was a young ass dude. And oh, boy, young buck knows how to hit the. Mm-hmm. Knows how to, you know, you know. Yeah. Hit the skins there, you know what I mean? So they are a three-piece. Technically, it should be a four-piece, but the guitar player went ahead and did both parts. And yeah, it's legit. I very highly recommend people to check this out. It's crazy. I never thought I would actually put Carcass on the top five list of albums of the year, but for me, but yeah, there you go.
Not too shabby. I guess changing gears again, we've had different kind of music genre here. Also, for my fourth pick, which, if you know me, one of my all-time favorite bands is the band Garbage. So, like, a number four ranking is kind of low, but it is her new album, No Gods, No Masters. Ooh, sorry. It's, again, a really great Garbage album, because I thought that their last album, Strange Little Birds, was just hands down their all-time worst record. And I was like, yeah, they're not going to make a worse record than that ever. And yeah, they so far, just this one album, it just goes back to what I love about Garbage. It's a band producing and making really great music, and Shirley Manson's vocals are just amazing. She's like one of my favorite singers ever, and her vocals and her lyrics she's always like wanted to like have a point whenever she like sings about something, and like each album she progressively gets a bit more like comfortable about singing about things that maybe she was holding back in like the first album or second album. But yeah, it seems like now she's just, there's nothing that she's gonna hold back on. Mm-hmm. She's gonna say it, and then yeah, there's like there are a few kind of like skippable tracks on this album, so that's why I did put it down to number four. But like the top like 4 to 5 songs, I just absolutely love, and yeah.
Mm. That's number four.
Garbage. No guys, no masters.
You're making me think about this take, man. I was gonna say, man, I'm a jam to this one, but now when you said the skippable tracks, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, because I don't know, like how will you know Garbage albums? There's a few songs that do remind me of their last album, some. So like, those aren't their best. That's not their best stuff.
Hmm. Believe it or not, I'm not that like into Garbage.
They are the reason I am a music fan. Wasn't for them, who knows? Maybe I wouldn't have liked music.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm pretty sure I've heard a Garbage song on 94.5 The Buzz.
For sure, yeah.
But I've never remember being like, how do I say it? Like, I've never, it's almost like you probably heard a song, just never heard like it's like I told you, I would listen to Green Day songs and I never knew that they were Green Day songs.
Yeah. Cause like Garbage is one of those bands who, unless you're like a Garbage fan, like an actual Garbage fan, cause there's two different kind of fan people, you know, there's a hit fans and there's an actual band. But Garbage is kind of lumped into just being like a 90s band. That's when they were most popular, but still, yeah. They have put out albums since then, and I think they put out some really great albums since the 90s, but yeah, they did that song Only Happy When It Rains, Stupid Girl. Special, you might not know off the title. That's their top three biggest hits. Might be like one of those things, like once you're like, oh, okay.
I'll probably be something that we'll listen to later and be like, oh, okay, I know that song. Or I've heard that song, but I don't really know it. Yeah. All right. I'm actually going to go with... See You Space Cowboys, The Romance of Affliction. They released a split EP and they released a fucking album late in the year. I remember listening to their last, the album previous to this one, and thinking, okay, they've gotten heavier from the very first one. They made fun of themselves on the very first album released on Pure Noise, which was like, don't call me Screamo. It's a, like a minute and 12 second song, but it sounds like it shouldn't be funny, but it's actually pretty hilarious because, like, you know, that's what they sounded like. And Connie's always been, well, I want to change. We're just changing the sound and we want more melody on the next record. We want heavier, but more melody. And by George, they did it. It's a little more melodic. The bass player now does some backup vocals, some clean vocals. Connie's voice is still out there. It sounded like they had a lot of fun making the record, to be honest. There's like little parts where, like, on the single, they're playing the song, and as you know, they do like a little woo-hoo. They like do a little clap thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I was like, what was the point of that? But it fits so well with the song. So I didn't even mind it. I'm like, okay, I see what you guys did there. Like I said, they did more melody. And usually, you know, when you get that point where like bands start having the second singer with the melodies, you're like, oh God, now it just sounds like this. No, I still think it's, they feel like it's still their own sound. If like you go on and listen to it, and if you've listened to Steve Space Cowboy for the last couple of years, this does feel like, hands down, a CU Space Cowboys song or album. I give it that.
So for my number three pick, I'm going to go with my favorite metal record of this entire year. And it is Cradle of Filth, Existence is Futile. Now, I will admit this. So, like, this is the third record with, like, Richard Shaw and Ashok as their guitar players. And this is probably the worst one, but not, like, bad. But I'm just saying, like, if I was like rank those albums, this would be number three. But again, it's really solid. It's a strange record because, like, to me, it's a bottom heavy record, which is pretty rare. There's not too many records that are bottom heavy. Most of them are top heavy, like the first half of the album is really, really awesome. Then the second half is kind of like, meh. This is the opposite. The first few songs on this record are very meh, very kind of like standard Cradle of Filth. Nothing too amazing. But then the second half, oh my God. Now we're talking about some amazing songwriting. But yeah, this was a album that they were working on for kind of like 2.5 years. And it was originally planned to come out last year, but because of the whole COVID thing. And if you guys don't know, like, all the band members live in different countries. So it was really difficult for them to like record this thing. And this was also the debut of their brand new keyboardist, Annabelle. And she does a great job, honestly. You always kind of have to have that weird type of like, what's this new person going to bring to this band? She brought two instrumentals. She's a really talented keyboard player, it seems. And you know, it's a really good, great album. I would not per se call it a must-have Cradle album, but like it's definitely a really good one. But yeah, it's just I enjoy this album quite a lot. And I will say, okay, quick thing. So their first single, Crawling King Chaos, I still think that's a weird song title. It's just weird sounding. It's like Crawling King Chaos. It's like just weird sounding. But yeah, that's my number three.
Number three.
Number three.
That was your number three? Or yep. Number four?
Number three.
Oh, number three. My number three is, it's a song that sometimes makes me, a band that makes, album that makes me a little sad. Okay. Because we lost The Interview.
Okay. Yep. I couldn't listen to the album for like a week or two or longer.
Yep. The Miss Smiths. Every night is like Halloween. It is legit just what it sounds, what the name sounds like. You think of the Misfits, you think of the Smiths. It is legit perfect fusion of 80s rock with punk horror rock. So it's a fun album. It feels short at times, but it's a good feel that you can just listen to it over and over again. And the songs are catchy. The bass is really amazing on this record. And man, if we could just release just even the review part, I would have, man, it's, and the guys are fun. Like, we talked to The Fiend, and we also talked to Gorsy. And yeah, they were so much fun. They were so cool. Down to earth guys. And it sucks that we lost that interview. Like, wow. And it's not by our fault. It was literally, and I'm blaming it, it's fucking Skype. Skype fucked us really good on that one.
I was so mad.
Yeah, so, and they send us the files, but the files were fucking still. We couldn't retrieve them.
Yeah, like that's definitely a great record to choose as your number three.
Yes, sir.
So my number two.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was a bit surprised going into the year thinking that AFI would have my second favorite album, but it is AFI's Bodies. Just the overall solid record. There's only one song that I don't... Well, no. No, like, every song's at least good. I used to think that I didn't love any song, but then I realized that there are two songs that I think I will always love as AFI songs. That's Escape from Los Angeles, and also, What's it called? Don't Panic. Everyone's Wasn't Tragic. It was like my like fifth most listened to song of this entire year, according to Spotify. Looking Tragic. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's a great album. We also did a review on that one, too. I love it. My minor complaints, it was Davey's vocals, I think, was the weakest point, and I don't think I've ever said that about a a AFI album ever. But yeah.
It's only three letters, guy.
What's that?
It's only three letters. You can't fuck up three letters.
Yeah. But yeah. That's my number two. AFI Bodies.
All right. Well, there's a big issue we have going on right now.
What?
You're going to have to mention your number one.
I know.
No, like right now.
Why so?
You'll find out why.
Okay. So my number one has already been mentioned. It is, and like this was like the, this was like basically the first place winner that was way ahead of anyone else. Like if I was gonna give this album a rating of whatever, a 10, it'd be like a 20 out of 10. It is the Misfits, Every Night is Like Halloween. Every song on this album's really good. Now there is one song that, you know, maybe not aged too well. It was a pandemic made album. Originally the band was a cover band. They made this record amazing. And as we kind of mentioned earlier, or as like Leo mentioned a lot, because like I don't want to say too much about it, because I already knew that this was going to be like my number one. So I think the musicians do a great job. And like Gorsy does a great job on doing like the whole Morrissey type of vocal. And it's done so well. And my favorite song on this record, which was my number one Spotify song, going back to my Spotify thing, it was The Show Has Been Canceled. And I just love that track. It's one of those songs that I have coworkers who, some of them don't speak English, but like they will kind of sing this chorus, or like they'll kind of say, or they'll like whistle like the chorus. So yeah, all my, if you work at LA Crawfish, you know this song. I've played it almost daily since February. So
true. I don't work at La Crawfish, but I'm just agreeing. I believe it.
All right. What you got for your number two and number one? This is exciting.
All right. Here's the issue. Here's the problem. You've heard my entire list, knocked all of them down by one. Because my number one picks, because there's no bad shit way in hell I can even pick one or the other. Legit. Both albums I loved heavily. Both albums were just out there. The Misfits were above. They were like the title holders for the longest period of time. And then came, and I'm a call them by the order they were released in. It's another album that we've reviewed on here, Between the Buried and Me's Colors 2. I love that album. I love progressive music. I know Joey has a very hot take on progressive music. He's not a fan of it. I get it. It's not for everybody. That's the thing.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. So I enjoy the fact that if this was the second part to Colors, and it felt like they actually were actually working on a record. Like they actually had fun And I think that's what I like a lot about a lot of the records that I've been listening to lately. Some you can tell like when some bands are just like, oh, we're just in the studio. Like an example, Korn, whenever they released Through the Mirror, or like it seems like Untouchables, like they were in it, but they've went back to like, oh, we just gotta make an album. And they did the same thing with Issues. So that's why I don't know, like if you
I
ever.
disagree with the Issues comparison, but I like agree that there are some like Korn albums that do sound like you're just like, oh, we're just gonna make an album. But I
Yeah, well,
disagree with the issue with
Issues,
them,
Issues was legit, even said by Jonathan Davis that we just wrote, went in there to write an album because we were forced to by our studio. Hence why that damn album has so many fucking middle songs. It's annoying.
I mean, well, we won't talk about that album for too much, but yeah, I can get, but like that's one of my favorite Korn albums, so
It's
I can't knock it.
nostalgic. It's nostalgic. That's all it really is. It's a good Korn
Great
album.
songs on there.
There are, but it's still an album where they were just like, we're going through the motions. And I'm always gonna be mad at the fact that they're always releasing like that album was like two songs, then you have an interlude, another two songs, an interlude, a song, an interlude. It's like, yo.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but that's what I kind of start to love about it, though. This thing, but anyway, go on. No more corn talk.
More corn talk. But yeah, between the Bear and Me, they released such a solid record. It was so much fun. It was heavy. It was melodic. They have some weird jazz parts, some pirate parts. Like it's hard to explain where this record went into, you know what I mean? But the other record that stood out to me is Mastodon's Hushed and Grim.
I knew it. Yeah.
You knew this was coming.
Yeah,
I,
I knew it.
it's progressive in its own right. It's pretty strong. It's there's songs in there that they're like they're heavy, and then there's songs where you can just get lost. Like if you were like lost in your own space, your own thoughts or anything. That's how this album goes into. I know this album was dedicated to one of their producers. And they kept, said that they always kept him in mind when they wrote every single song.
Yeah.
So it's a I believe it's a beautiful tribute album to a friend. It's pretty good. And like I said, if you listen to one Mastodon album, you've noticed a progression in their sound on how much they use the drummer vocals, how much they switch up. They got sludge metal, alternative, progressive, metal, and it's a giant little pot stew of so, a lot of music genres that I enjoy. So it's a fun album. Some songs, it was one. Oh man, it's what was the name of that song? I even posted it on my Facebook. And it's like a song that literally stood out to me. And it wasn't a single, by the way. That's the thing. Like, I actually enjoyed a lot of the songs on here that weren't just singles. And I wonder why, you know, like sometimes you're wondering, like, why did none of these songs became the singles? But you can only put so many, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
So.
there's definitely a lot of albums I have thought that about.
Yeah, and the album, the song was More Than I Can Chew. And I've never really said that Mastodon was strong on the lyrics, but this album does show some pretty strong Mastodon lyrics.
Yeah, like I couldn't get into it really, but you know. It was okay.
All right, now that we've talked about all our favorite albums for 2021, November and December has actually released a shit ton of singles for albums that are coming out in 2022. Have any of these singles caught your attention, and there's any bands you're hoping to release any 2022 music?
Yes. The song that came out, I think it was actually October 22nd, technically, when the single came out. But it is, well, she's released two songs now, hyping for her March album, Crash. It is Charlie XCX. As probably no one knows on this podcast, because I've never mentioned her really, but if you know me in real life, you know, in music listening life, I love Charlie XCX so much. But like this past year kind of reignited the flame that I had for her back in like 2014 or 2015. Because this album, the first two singles, man, I am excited. And I'm kind of thinking there's a chance this could be her all-time best record. Because like she puts out albums almost yearly. She didn't put out one this year, but she put out two the previous year. So kind of, but her albums are kind of like mixed. Sometimes they're like really good, and sometimes you get like an album that's half good, half kind of or you get an album that's kind of with like two good songs. But this one's sounding really good, and I plan on seeing her in April, which I'm super excited to see, because I missed her last time, because I don't know why, I was stupid, because tickets are pretty cheap. Now they've gone up quite a bit to see her. And you know what? Also, Korn. They put out a pretty good new song. I've only heard it twice, but every time I hear it, I'm like, man, this song's really good. I need to just listen to it more, but I never do. But the Korn album, I'm really excited to see what the band sounds overall without Fildy, which is going to be weird.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, oh. Yeah.
That means that Jonathan and Monkey are the only people who have been on every Korn record now.
Nice. So,
those are the only two singles that are really hyping me up for next year's releases. But what do you got, Mr. Leo?
Well, I'm already looking at Album of the Year 2022. They've Comeback Kid has released three singles for their upcoming album, Heavy Steps, which comes out January 20th. And I'm not gonna lie. Have you heard Comeback Kid? Pretty sure you've heard some Comeback Kid in your life. Yeah, they've always been one of my favorite bands. I've never heard a bad release from them. So it's been a while since the band's actually gotten me to feel like I need to be in a circle pit, to be honest.
Yeah. And
when I've heard the first single, I'm like, I need to go in a circle pit ASAP. Like I said, then the next one came out, which the first single was No Easy Way Out. They did Heavy Steps next, and they released Crossed, like not so long ago, like a couple of weeks, like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And it features the guy from Gojira, Joe Duplantier, whatever.
Heard a name, but like I can't say it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it telling you like this album's already sounding up to be like an album that if I listen to it, I don't think I can listen to it in my room because I might just break some shit. So yeah. Like that has to be now they're making me want to see This is like something, because like Comeback Kid barely ever comes to Houston, so I'm hoping for a Houston tour date for Comeback Kid. So we will end this. It was long, not so long.
Yeah, like it wasn't as long as oh, last year's was actually longer.
Oh yeah, we were drunk babbling.
Was like strangely over 2 hours. Oh, because like we also brought up disappointed albums. We didn't do that this year, but
I didn't have many disappointing albums. Like I said, the only thing I was just disappointing is that I didn't get to hear bands that I wanted to hear drop a new album, release an album.
Like there was a few kind of disappointing releases from bands that I kind of expected more from, but the album wasn't bad. It was just kind of like I was expecting a little bit better, type thing. So, like I said, with like the whole garbage thing too, I was like I was expecting a little bit better, but with Cradle of Filth also, that'll be a little bit better, but still, both those are great albums. It's just that when they first came out, I was like expecting a little bit better. So it's like one of those type of years for me for releases. That's really disappointing.
Alrighty. That being said, we would like to welcome in the new year of music. Hopefully, it'll be some bangers.
I believe.
Where are people find you at, Joey?
Right. You can find me at Nimrod Horror on the Instagram and on Snapchat at Joey from 3232. Cameras with you.
You could find me at XXLeoXR2D2 XX on Instagram. For the entire podcast, you can find us at Nimrod Generation Podcast, one word, on
Said that.
Instagram, on YouTube, on what other social medias we got?
He meant Nimrod Horror
Oh, Nimrod Horror Podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah. I'm falling asleep, guys. But also check out the Nimrod Generation podcast while you're at it.
That too.
And Joey, you have another podcast.
Yep. 30-year-old teenagers podcast. We have returned. I think it's gonna be kind of a more of a video thing now, or is this gonna be like a audio? I'm not totally sure. Our editor Blake, who's been on this show before, is dealing with that. I'm not sure when the new episodes are coming out. Hopefully soon. We had a fun time recording me and Dolores, so she's been on the show too, so.
And she asked me about Tiny Iron Man one more time, I swear to God.
Yeah, have a
Laters.
happy 2022 later.